is time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to another Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Malcolm Out Loud. You know, Republicans are saying there's nothing to see here. It's just Trump trying to root out corruption. And Democrats are saying his own words are evidence that the president is deeply unfit for office and deserves to be impeached. And that's really where you have the lines being drawn here. Late Friday, I went to the top of Drudge just to get an idea of what the nation is feeling. What's the pulse right now? And let me just share this with you quickly. I think it's interesting. And here's the top headlines at the very top of that, a very popular news site. Obviously, even the president goes there to see what's going on, right? The first one, poll, 45% support impeachment, 17% of Republicans. Text, president used meeting to pressure Ukraine. Shepard Smith from Fox, one of your favorites out there. I know you folks love him. Trump may have violated federal law on live TV. You know, Chuck Todd, national nightmare upon us all. Judge Napolitano, Trump apparently personally and directly committed a crime. Rush Limbaugh, this is why you love Trump. Another Republican senator defends whistleblower. McConnell keeping options open. Trump cites obligation to end corruption, but former aide said he's digging deeper hole. So just pause a moment, friends, and just get a sense of everything I just shared with you. Again, if you were just reading those headlines for the first time today, you would really believe the sky is indeed falling and that the Republic is in great, great peril here. Let's bring on at the top of the news here, Dennis Santiago. Dennis is an American strategist, a philosopher, patriot. He focuses on strategic warfare, asymmetric warfare, arms control, global stability. Ava Armstrong is here as well. As she's a political commentator, radio personality here at America Out Loud. She is an extraordinary author, which I tell you about all the time. She writes about America's heroes. Her books are on Amazon. We have a lot of great authors, a lot of our experts, a lot of our guests as well. I want to encourage you to go to the America Out Loud bookstore. You'll find that on the navigation bar at AmericaOutLoud.com and favor these terrific authors, buy their books, and you'll be happy you did. One of the things I learned as a young man is if you're playing defense all the time, you can never win the game. And I learned that on the sandlot balls being a young man. You can never play the game. Now, President Trump is brilliant at that. He knows he's not going to win the game playing defense. You have to play fire with their own game. So what I think is one of the most interesting things you've seen the president do in the last 48 hours or so is he's changed the narrative from election interference and all of this business with the Bidens to corruption, that the administration is going after corruption. Have you noticed that? And is that, do you agree, is that a brilliant move?
Oh, I noticed it, and I expected this move to happen. This is exactly the you're beginning to see the galvanizing issue that I think is going to dominate the next 3 to 4 months in preparation for the 2020 election. It's very clear that what the Democrats are doing here is they know they have very unelectable candidates right now, and they know they have to weaken Trump. Mm-hmm. And the way they've chosen to try to weaken him is to go after impeachment. Okay. Now, Trump knows this, and this is all optics and theatrics, right? And like you said, the best defense is a good offense. So he's been searching for where do you find a weakness on the opposition side that makes it riskier for them to keep moving forward with this thing than it is for them to try to wear him down. And he found it. Yeah. He found corruption.
Yeah. It is what you say there is in the fact that you point out, and I so appreciate what you say there because I just want everybody to hear that. I mean, they are weakening Trump just before an election that they know they're probably not going to win people. So think about that a moment. Let that resonate with you, whether you're pro support or not, or you just can't argue with what was put out there because it's a fact. Let me dive a moment into the whistleblower complaint, Ava, and talk to you about this here in the House Rules of Impeachment, because this is important. So listen up, people. Here it is here. The complaint against Trump alleges that he offered a promise to a foreign head of state that was unlawful or threatening to national security. Now, the IC Inspector General, who, by the way, let me just tell everybody the facts. He was a Trump appointee, by the way, evaluated the complaint, interviewed the whistleblower, examined the docs, and concluded that the complaint was urgent and credible, which is in itself interesting. Now, but really, who actually composed that complaint, the 11 pages of legalese? That's been a real controversy, Ava, that nobody's really wanting to admit, because that wasn't done by the whistleblower, or, and we know whistleblower is a term that really is a leaker. It's not really a whistleblower, but that's what the media is using, clearly showed that, oh, this is all really a major catastrophe. So talk to me on that complaint, what I put out there.
I'm glad that you used the word leaker.
Leaker.
Because this is what we need to be saying. We should not be calling this person a whistleblower. Mm-hmm. That's a whole different definition. Sure. And people really need to take a deep breath, step back, understand there are rules of the Senate and rules of the House. Congress has rules that they need to operate with, okay? Mm-hmm. And what they're doing, they're using the television camera and they're using media, which is very complicit, and they're trying to drive a narrative, and they're using these words, whistleblower and, you know, impeachment and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And really, people, this is just high drama. Nancy Pelosi is saying that mm-hmm. President Trump is putting party before country. And, you know, that's exactly what she's doing. That's right. Exactly what the House is doing.
I'll tell you this. Fox News had reported this. The complaint related that Trump held up the sale of $250 million worth of military equipment and the delivery of $140 million in congressionally mandated foreign aid until the government of Ukraine opened a criminal investigation against the son of former Vice President Joe Biden. Of course, Hunter Biden, as you're seeing. But yet, this doesn't seem to be supported by a timeline or substantiated by the conversation at all. But yet, that's what's being reported. Now, let me keep going. Senator Romney, and I know that does not roll off the tongue easy, people, but Senator Romney, Mitt Romney, yes, that's correct. He called out Trump, and you probably know this over the last 48 hours as well. He called it wrong and appalling. I did read the transcript, he says. It remains troubling in the extreme. It's deeply troubling. Romney was talking to the reporters this past couple of days here. Clearly, what we've seen from the transcript itself is deeply troubling. Again, same names, and I know a lot of conservatives take a deep sigh when I tell you this. Same thing if I bring up the name Senator Ben Sasse, you immediately go into convulsions. I understand that. He came out in a statement, Americans don't look to Chinese commies for the truth. This is all in relation to the president. The reason I bring this up and I find it interesting is what's happened is this, Dennis. For the first time in our life, in our history, we are finding a politician, non-politician, who is extremely transparent. People like Romney and Sasse, who are, let's face it, they have a particular protocol in how they do business, the way politics is supposed to be run in Washington. Trump does not fit any close thing to that narrative at all. And so their statements coming out are that, you know, they don't understand that Trump plays it all out there in the public squares. He does. He puts it out there, the truth, and he just exposes it all, which was all part of this deep state business at all. The president is after transparency and throws it all out there. And Dennis, the truth be told, there is nobody in Washington who knows how to handle that truth. They do not. Well, that was the old line that Jack Nicholson said, wasn't it, buddy? You can't handle the truth. Well, that would be all of Washington, D.C.
Here's the problem with Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C., the establishment has gotten fat off of too many years of being in power, and many of them have gotten rich. Many of them have taken advantage of the system, and all of a sudden, because of this whole impeachment thing, it's all beginning to blow up in their faces. I don't think they realize just how much of a time bomb they set off when they did this. They're beginning to understand it. And you know what? You're starting to see when you look at all of these people coming out of the woodwork, just how complicit the entirety of Washington, D.C., and I don't care whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, but that entire system has gotten addicted mm-hmm. to milking the system. Mm-hmm. If you look at this thing, you look at this complaint, it's really fishy, okay? It's a total fishing expedition. They're hoping that by continuing to inquire, and it's an inquiry, it's not an actual accusation yet, that they may find something. this sounds exactly like Mueller, which was a fishing expedition. This right. sounds exactly like Kavanaugh, which was a fishing expedition. And this is another one. I mean, right, you know, right. like the only person that actually made sense this week in commenting on this, oddly enough, was Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She said, I'm so over it. Well, you know what? So am I.
Mm, well, that's rich, isn't it? Isn't that rich here? No, you're right on it. You're right on it here. It's not even an inquiry at this point, and I want to talk to you about that next. Now, listen to this here. I want to talk about these House rules, and we just talked about the complaint itself, like you say, Dennis. Donald J. Trump is a threat to the entire system. Like him, love him, leave him, hate him, whatever. It doesn't matter what your view is. Get that through your head right now, everybody. And that's what we got to put out there constantly. He is a threat to the entire Washington, D.C. establishment, the entire power struggle that's going on, and you need to understand that. Is he a choir boy? No. Is he perfect? No. But he is a threat to these people. And it's about time we push that narrative where it needs to be pushed. Now, I want to talk to you about the House rules and the complaint. Follow me along, people, here. So what about President Trump's argument that he doesn't have to comply with the Democrats, this inquiry business, or subpoenas? Because, you know, they're firing off subpoenas. You see Pompeo's pushing back. He said, like hell, I'm going to play with you on all these demands as you push people around with these subpoenas. And he's pushing back. He did that from overseas here in the last couple of days you've seen. So let's talk about those House rules. The president, vice president, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. Now, listen to me carefully. The rules for impeachment are not detailed in the Constitution, but have their basis in Jefferson's manual. The House rules are this. Now, follow me, because Nancy Pelosi has consistently said it's not in the Constitution. It's in the House rules. Well, the House rules, they talk about the Constitution, and they say the impeachment proceedings may be requested by a member of the House of Representatives on his or her own initiative, either by presenting a list of the charges under oath or by asking for referral to the appropriate committee. Anyone can make this request, people. Now, an impeachment proceeding formally begins with a resolution adopted by the House of Representatives, which typically includes a referral to a House committee. Is everybody hearing that? Ava, are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, yes,
and
I understand.
This is what she's arguing about right here. Listen, these are the House rules that she keeps pushing with all the television channels. It says here, Ava, an impeachment proceeding formally begins with a resolution adopted, Ava, by the full House of Representatives. You hear what
exactly.
that is?
All right. Exactly. Exactly.
So where's she coming off saying that it doesn't matter?
Well, she knows that the American public isn't, you know, reading the Constitution and the House rules. And mm-hmm. she understands that, you know, she can say anything really on all of these, you know, leftist channels.
That's it.
And I hate to say this, but Fox is included in that batch.
100%. There's
a little nugget I wanted to give you regarding Trump's phone call with Zelensky. Everybody kept saying it was a quid pro quo. Mm-hmm. It was not, because the actual thing that he was talking about giving Ukraine was they were purchasing equipment from America, okay? The other money, the whatever millions of dollars had already been transmitted to him prior to the phone call. What was being held was the equipment, and they talked about the deal on the equipment in the phone call. Now, a lot of people don't know this, okay? But that's the truth of the matter. And that's why the Democrats have now had a second so-called whistleblower emerge, because they know the first one is going to blow up.
We all know that impeachment is a very rare, did I say rare, event in America, right? I mean, we know the story. We know what's happened on this. We know Andrew Johnson, right? We know President Clinton, but let me talk to you a minute about President Buchanan. This was back in the 1850s, okay? President Buchanan wrote to the committee investigating his administration back then. He put a whole thing out there. I do therefore solemnly protest against these proceedings of the House of Representatives because they are in violation of the rights of the coordinate executive branch of the government, executive branch being the president, and subversive of its constitutional independence because they are calculated to foster a band of interested parasites and informers ever ready for their own advantage to swear before ex parte committees to pretended private conversations between the president themselves incapable from their nature of being disproved, thus furnishing material for harassing the president, degrading the president in the eyes of the country. Now, this is what Buchanan wrote back then. I think there was around 1854 or so right then. Now, here's what's really interesting about why I read to you what I just did. President Buchanan maintained that the House of Representatives possessed no general powers to investigate him except when sitting as an impeaching body. And I love that statement right there that President Buchanan said back in the late 50s into 1860. You got to remember, Buchanan was the president before Abraham Lincoln. Mm-hmm. Abraham Lincoln came on in 1860. Buchanan was just before him. You have to remember, too, the Republican Party was in its infancy stage in 1854. The first president in the Republican Party wasn't elected until Lincoln in 1860. It was the Whigs Party before that. Mm-hmm. But Buchanan came right out, Dennis, and called them on the carpet, the House of Representatives, and said, "You don't have possessed magical powers to investigate me except when sitting on an impeaching body." This historically, they tried to do the same thing to Buchanan they are trying to do to Trump, and this is historically the closest thing to what we're seeing today.
Oh, I completely agree with that observation. I mean, you know, this is what they're doing right now with this inquiry thing is they're witch hunting. And Adam Schiff, I mean, my God, he looks, every time you look at him, he is so nervous because he knows he's walking on thin ice, right? And the bottom line, you know what I think? Like, dare them to push a resolution onto the agenda and get a vote on it. Because you know what? Right now, the political risk of going forward with it for the Democrats is so high that falls apart, you know, and the entire center establishment wing of the Democrat Party evaporates. And that's the risk that these people are running right now. And they do know it.
The stakes are high. One other thing I want to say about this, then I want to cover a couple of other stories with you both here. Kurt Volker, who is the U.S. Special Envoy for Ukraine there, provided an in-house testimony, as you all know. And this was about the text messages he had with the European Union ambassador. You've been hearing the name now, Gordon Sondland there. You've been hearing there. And the staff as well, and other people in Ukraine as well were involved in those text messages. He said, Bill Taylor, who's the Ukraine ambassador, to keep you all straight here. Bill, I believe you are incorrect about President Trump's intentions. The president has been crystal clear, no quid pro quos of any kind. Now, people, that is called the English language, is what that's called. That's in a text prior to this anything of this investigation coming to the light of day. That's pretty damning, Dennis, no?
I've been reading the text messages and going back and forth. I mean, for gosh sakes, guys, this is an emissary of the United States talking to an emissary of another country. That going back and forth, I think people are reading too much into these things.
But that one statement right there, Ava, the president has been crystal clear. No, that's amazing to me. That's right there in English, I'm saying.
Right. There's no quid pro quo. And, you know, they know this. The Democrats know this. But now, you know, they will go forward and try to do other things. They're just playing games.
Yeah.
And I admit, I listened to the transcript. I actually listened to two guys read the transcript aloud. And it was, you know, Trump was ham-handed in it, okay? He wasn't using words eloquently or...
Right.
You know, he didn't have everything written down that he was going to say. He just kind of just blurted it out. And, you know, and he, you know, he sounded like a normal human being, actually. He sounded like one of us. I mean, how would we speak to the president of the Ukraine, you know?
Right.
And like I said, the quid pro quo, it's a misnomer because the equipment, they were speaking of an equipment purchase that was coming, upcoming, which was ready to go. And it wasn't anything to do with the investigation. That was totally separate. In the transcript, you can see that.
Yeah. So, well, now we're seeing reports, like you say, they're not done yet, as Dennis has pointed out and Avers pointed out. Yeah, there's more whistleblowers, more things coming. And again, the term whistleblower is totally rubbish. And what this is really where you're starting to see people are getting very uncomfortable with what's happening here.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Who changed the rule on what whistleblower definition is? Hmm.
Well, there's a lot of rules being changed right now, Ava.
Three-letter agencies.
There's a lot of that, Dennis. And there's a lot of point here where Dennis says as well, if you start to watch the body language of a lot of people, including Pelosi and Schiff and many others, you can see they're very nervous. And body experts can see this and determine this in a hot second. But even you and I can, people. Just watch these people and see them squirming what's going on. The truth must prevail here. And the second thing you take away from this is President Trump doesn't play to their narrative. He doesn't care. And that really upsets these people because he doesn't play by their sets of rules. And that makes him a real casualty of the entire political system. And middle America is standing tall and probably applauding this president, because the first time you have somebody in there that is from a we the people status who doesn't give a damn. So put that in your pipe and smoke it, people.
Trump is the whistleblower.
Yeah, there you go.
On all of them, yes.
And Trump is the whistleblower. We'll give you that. So here we go. He's blowing the whistle on the entire system, people. Mm-hmm. So that's a story we need. That's a narrative we need to push out there, Ava Armstrong. That's a great point to say to end that conversation. A lot more on this ahead with Colonel Warshak. I've got some more stuff about this deep state and some other news of what's going to happen to some of these people who are going to be in handcuffs soon. So don't hold your breath, but hold it. It'll happen. Let's talk about some economic numbers quickly here as we're time-wise. But unemployment rate at 50-year low, 3.5%. Additional jobs created during the month of September reached 135,000. Total employment record reached 158,269 workforce, because people are coming off of the sidelines to work again. And the economic numbers looked really good, Ava. I mean, they were looking solid. I mean, even though there's a lot of, and imagine this is still with all the political uncertainty and all the trade problems and everything else. I mean, you got to hand it to the might of the Americans, I think.
Oh, the economy, the undergird of the economy is very solid. Mm-hmm. And we had the little bit of a drop happen. There's some other things that are going on in the worldwide economy to have caused that. You have to understand that, number one. And number two, the question mark on the China trade deal is still hanging out there. Mm-hmm. And the USMCA has not been signed by Congress.
No, she doesn't want to sign it. She came on the microphone the other day, Pelosi, the speaker, saying, yeah, we can chew gum and walk and spit at the same time. And of course, they're not doing any of that stuff good. But she's trying to say they're still looking at it, but they want to have more enforcement rules in there. In the meantime, nothing is happening here. There is no activity happening here. Dennis, do you believe in your heart of hearts we can sustain this with all these distractions happening right now? Can we sustain this economy here?
It all depends. I'm 50-50 on it. And can we sustain it? Because right now the problem is that the United States economy is holding up the rest of the world's economy, and the rest of the world is sinking. And how long can we keep everything else afloat? I mean, we're only one country. And that's what worries me.
Yeah, and I just want to say, I get such pride when you say what you just said, because it just shows you what I call people American exceptionalism. That's what I think this, I really mean this. That's what I think this is all about. You hear Dennis now with the world economy falling, all the countries having their problems, all the political strife back here, everything that's a problem that we're dealing with, and still the might of the American people is stronger than ever. And people, you all need to hold your head up high today. No, that's called American exceptionalism. So put that one again in your pipe there as well. How's that? Now let's talk about Hong Kong here. What's going on? Talk about oppression here and what's happening here with Hong Kong. Protests are getting pretty violent again. They've been every weekend is another chapter. So Dennis, here's what's happening. Bottom line, the extradition has been resolved for now, but the Hong Kong people has not been resolved. They see what's going on and they don't like it. And violent. They're now, China came out and said they don't want anybody wearing masks. Now violations over the weekend here is people are wearing masks. and they're defying everything the Chinese are saying. I'm getting the sneaking suspicion. I think it's just a matter of time now before the Chinese act. Tell me I'm wrong.
I do not believe that you are wrong. And I kind of side with the Chinese on this. I've been reading Chinese news bureaus and publications, and they are being extremely gentle and with what's going on in Hong Kong, trying to soft pedal what is happening to the rest of China. And where it's, this is kind of, I mean, they won their points.
Well, they're showing patience, Dennis, but hold on now. They're showing patience, but let me be clear that people don't take your words out of context here. But you certainly don't support the Chinese human rights record. You certainly don't support their military pushing.
No,
like, come on.
No. I'm talking specifically about Hong Kong. There's a lot of other problems in China, okay?
Right.
But when it comes to Hong Kong, that this is a very large economic gem to them, and they don't want to blow it. Right. So they're being exceptionally gentle with them, basically because they don't want the whole thing to come tumbling down, because they know that that's costly for them. Now, if the people in Hong Kong keep pushing, they're going to have no choice. And at this point, the way it's going, it's starting to take on a life of its own. And the only way that it's ever going to be solved is going to be with greater and greater force, because that's just the way it works. Yeah. And unfortunately, it's not going to turn out well for the Hong Kong people.
No, it's not. But this whole thing was all set to fail, Aver, in the beginning. When the British when that power went over to China in the 50-year deal, it was always going to fail in my eyes from day one. I mean, I was sadder than sad when this all deal happened, because I knew Hong Kong being a vibrant community was just a matter of days and months and years before it would fail. And sadly, the best days, I have to say, are probably behind Hong Kong at this point. And I don't like to say that, Ava.
Well, I'll tell you something about China. There's only one reason why they haven't done something horrible to all these people in Hong Kong. It's because the whole world is watching right now. Social media,
right,
and we have cell phones, and the whole world is watching. And Hong Kong is not going to be their one and only country province they do this to. They are going next for Taiwan. They're already in Venezuela.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a real long,
China's on the move. Yeah. China's on the move. And that's a problem, Ava. And which brings me to the other story that you've heard me talk about this for how long, Ava, when I've said to you, pushing Russia away as our dumb politicians have done is really a stupid move. And yet I'm seeing stories here. There was a story in Defense One, which got my attention because the headline ran, China, Russia deepen technological ties. And I thought, wow. So back to your point right now, China's on the move. They are on the move for world dominance, period. It's not Russia. And yet now, because our dumb politicians have done what they've done, and you heard me say this a couple of years ago, and I keep saying it, Ava, and here's the proof right now with what's going on, as you mentioned, Hong Kong, Taiwan, all the things that are going on, the trade talks, the president, all of this, and now the fact of what our politicians have done with our relationship with Russia. It's pretty bad. I mean, we've fallen pretty far since Ronald Reagan days.
Yeah, the one small little glimmer of hope, China's economy is slipping badly right now. And I think that gives them some kind of urge, to make a deal with Trump.
Talk to me about this quickly, this technological ties with China, Russia. I see it as a problem.
Oh, I see it as a very strategic move by the Chinese. Very long term, very Xi Jinping, to tell you the truth. The Chinese know that the relationship for technological exchange with the United States is beginning to weaken. And bonds are beginning to break. They've lived off of that working with us on technology exchange for a very long time now. And what they need most is to bolster basic science. There is no country on this planet with better basic scientists to mine and attract to your economy than Russia. They have the best mathematicians, the best fundamental scientists. These guys are really, really good. And the Chinese are making their move to replace basic science from the United States with basic science from Russia.
Right.
And I think it's a good move for them.
It's going to be a problem. One last footnote I want to tell you in the top stories is that Rick Perry, and don't all get your crying towel out now, please, but he is going to be resigning at the Department of Energy at the end of November. That's what reports are saying right now. and that he is going to be leaving the administration. And I just wanted you to know that piece of information. We'll see what develops from that with the Energy Department. And a tremendous thank you here to Dennis Santiago, Ava Armstrong. Up next, we're going to do a little bit of a deep dive in here and or surf in here with the deep state as they implode. Pretty interesting conversation coming up right now with Warshak on this John Brennan. I'll make a prediction. He may be the first one in handcuffs, people. Let's see if that holds true and what Warshak says. More Viewpoint in just a moment.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
You know, as this whole thing's been going on here, it cannot be lost with you. If you just follow the track and the trajectory of everything I spelled out on the opening part of the program here in the top stories, I think you've got to understand, people, this is that while this push is happening and people are getting very nervous in D.C. Because of everything that's happened with this leaker, a.k.a. whistleblower, but leaker that's out there right now, you must remember that there's an election happening here in 2020, number one. Two, they are trying to get President Trump out of office any way they can. It's three, they know they don't have the best candidates to win. Hence the priority and why they're pushing now for this, many people would say, lame deal that they're trying to actually impeach the president. But there is another shoe dropping, and it's called William Barr, it's called John Durham, it's called Horowitz, and a lot of other people there that are working behind the scenes here. Let's talk about that now here. Colonel Jim Warshak is with me here. He's retired from United States Air Force. He is a career senior intelligence and special missions officer, the former deputy director of intelligence at U.S. Central Command, and served on the White House National Security Council staff as intelligence aide to the National Security Advisor. As Adam Schiff and Pelosi and this whole leaker whistleblower story is all over, that's the narrative everybody's talking about here, this impeachment thing. A lot of people would say, if you listen to, again, what came out with Volcker, there's just no evidence there. We'll come back to that later, but let me go with the deep state with you and talk about what's really going on behind the scenes, because if you watch the body language of a lot of these people, it's not just Adam Schiff and Pelosi, but if you look at John Brennan, and you look at the quietness of Comey lately, and Clapper, you get the sense there's another shoe to drop shortly. What's going on? What's the latest with these reports that are going to be coming out in the deep state as a whole?
All of these players who you mentioned from Pelosi and Schiff and Brennan and all the rest, all of those senior level officials in the Obama administration who were in charge of the major cabinet organizations of the Obama White House, they're feeling the likes of John Durham and William Barr right on their heels. You know, if you've been following this closely, these men have been traveling around the world interviewing key officials, intelligence officials in Australia, Italy, Great Britain, Ukraine, and they have other people out there doing that. They are getting very, very close to closing, really showing what was really going on all the way back to the Russia collusion issue, the FISA warrants and all that. This is all coming to bear. And the one single guy who is kind of the spy master behind all this is John Brennan. And of course, that's what he served as the CIA director. He's probably, you know, next to Obama, maybe Comey, he is really the single mastermind behind a lot of this because he had his hands in so many aspects of it, from, you know, the dossier, the FISA spying on Trump to dealing with all the other people behind the scenes. You know, you talk about Steele and you talk about all these other players who are kind of second tier, so to speak. They were critical, but they're second tier. The walls are closing in
on... Let me touch with you on something now. Now, listen, I want people to hear what you just said. The walls are closing in. Listen to those words there a moment here. And here's the thing, Jim. I think they are nervous, clearly, because, again, you watch what's going on. They know, again, all these overseas trips are happening. They know that Barr is relentless. That's why they didn't want Barr as the AG to begin with, remember. They couldn't stop him from becoming the AG, but they sure the hell tried. So here they are. They don't want the current president, number 45, to investigate what happened in the election in 2016 when he rose to power and all the corruption that happened on Obama's watch, because Obama did not hold the election in 2016 in high regard. And so all that happened, Jim, and yet here we are. And you see what I'm saying? Now they don't want this president talking to other countries. They don't want him investigating anything. They're trying to subpoena the State Department and Barr. Jim, I just think this needs to be lost on nobody. They are more than nervous as hell. I mean, come on, Jim. They got to be shitting bricks right now.
Yeah, they're extremely nervous because, you know, we all know the whole Russia collusion effort was a phony. There was nothing to it. You know, now we've seen with the whistleblower, or the so-called whistleblower, who's really a
leaker,
more like a traitor. And there's even, you know, we're hearing now over the weekend that there's a second whistleblower being drummed up to try to make it look like there's legitimacy behind the first whistleblower, because that whole thing is unraveling, as you mentioned, with Kurt Volker, whose testimony basically showed everything behind the scenes was
no quid pro quo is what he wrote in the text.
Exactly, no quid. And so, you know, when you go back to each of these issues, you know, you remember Joseph Mifsud, who was the Maltese professor who they linked up and got with the George Papadopoulos. That was all a John Brennan doing. He set that all up. And in fact, here's something most people don't realize. As a result of all that, three Italian intelligence agency heads were sacked last spring because of their role and their association with Brennan. You know, you haven't heard about that, but that occurred. That's because these countries are realizing what Brennan and Obama and all the rest were doing. We're using these intelligence agencies overseas to go after Trump. You know, same thing in England with MI6, and you know, you had the whole Steele effort in the dossier. This is where Brennan comes in. He utilized his position and role as the CIA director to take advantage of these other allied intelligence agencies to work against the president of the United States. This is some of the most, you know, seditious and treasonous
behavior. This is a James Bond movie. If you were to predict right this moment, if you and I were to make a calculated thought as to who would be the first one that could probably be indicted with all of this, whether it's Brennan, Clapper, Comey, or any of the other folks, that whether it's Page, Strzok, whatever, who do you think's the first one? What's your opinion?
I would have to say Brennan, and here's why. And granted, you know, you have Comey and you have Clapper and you have others involved. You know, they're all talking. They're all going to be pointing the finger. You also have, you know, I was going to mention later in this segment, Susan Rice and Samantha Power. And a number of other senior level Obama administration officials who are all in there, they're all being interviewed. Most people don't realize it. They're being interviewed. You know, Susan Rice came out a couple days ago and made a couple comments. When you see them come out making comments, they're giving their mea culpa or their excuse.
It's called CYA. We call that CYA.
Covering their ass. Exactly. That's what they're doing. That's why they're coming out. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned a few minutes ago, some of them have been quiet. You know, Comey and Clapper, you haven't heard anything from them in weeks. And so the noose is tightening around them, no pun intended. But, you know, this is where it's coming to, and this is what we've talked about in the past. They're all going to start pointing fingers at each other because none of them want to get indicted and none of them want to go to jail. a few of them are going to go because that's where the fingers are going to be pointed. And I don't think Brennan, the only person Brennan can point a finger at is Obama. That's the only guy he can go to. Clapper, even though Clapper was senior to him in the intelligence community, Clapper kind of went along. You know, Clapper was a stooge who, you know, he wanted to cover his ass early on, and he's been talking. Comey is going to point the finger at Brennan for the FISA and everything else, and the whole network that he weaved with MI6 and Ukraine and Italy and Australia.
I agree with you.
That's all Brennan's doing. So, you know, he's kind of out there on a limb, and they're going to point the finger at him. And, yeah, you know, yeah. I believe he will be indicted, brought up on a number of charges, you know, and he's going to say, well, the president of the United States told me to do this, or the president of the United States was well aware of what I was doing and condoned everything I was.
It is going to be interesting to see who throws who under the ship. But one thing I will say to you, Jim, James Comey defines the word snake. You can guarantee he will throw his mother under the bus if that will save his ass. I can assure you of that.
And 48 hours after Donald Trump was elected in November 16, they were crying and calling for impeachment. So the impetus just didn't occur as a result of, you know, the Russia collusion thing. That putting the cart before the horse, the impeachment call was already there. They're just filling in the story behind that, and that's what this is all transpired to. You know, they going back, they used FISA to spy on Trump, to try to get something on him. They built the Russia collusion story with the dossier, and then they moved forward and filled in the blanks. And then we had the Mueller investigation report for 2 years, and that you know, went up in smoke, and there was nothing there. So now they had to come up with the so-called whistleblower, and, you know, perhaps whistleblower two, as we're starting to hear. This, they are going to do whatever they can to keep this in the forefront of the media from now until election day. That's the plan. They have nothing. And if, and there's been a number of Democrat strategists who have come out and said, you know, as we go down, if one story doesn't work, we're going to come up with a new one. And that's obviously what's happening here.
That's
but
right.
They don't have anything.
Well,
they're just making it up.
And now, Jim, you can see now the American people can see how important the Mueller deal was. You see how important that was. Now everybody understands how important that was to the Democrats, how important it was to the socialist Marxist movement in this country, because had they been able to get Trump, they pulled all their leftist people in. They used Mueller, who was in a comatose state. They used his name. The guy was in a coma, basically. And they took all of these leftist people. They put them in some sort of a committee. They put Mueller at the top of it. And then they tried everything they could to find dirt on Trump. And you know what? You know what, Mr. Warshak, they couldn't find a damn thing.
Exactly. You know, Trump's anti-corruption platform is draining the swamp and getting rid of all these assholes who have been involved in everything. And so, you know, that scared them too. They know Trump knows and has the goods on all of them and what's been going on. You know, Biden is a side piece, and it's unfortunate for him, but it kind of just shows the kind of mentality of what went on in the Obama White House, where, you know, you had even the vice president using the power of his office to get favors for his family members, you know, in Ukraine and China. And they just keep making up all kinds of stories. You know, they even created, this is the one I like the most, where, well, you know, Trump used this to, and he manipulated it because there was a big aid program going on to Ukraine, $391 million, and they're at war with Russia, and Trump hurt them because he kept them from getting. That's a bunch of crap.
This is the same people in the previous administration who did nothing to help Ukraine out, and they did nothing as Russia stole Crimea. They did nothing to support Ukraine, and now these are the same people. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. And you know, this is what Trump has proven. He's playing them like a fiddle, and he's just sitting back and letting them do what they do. And he's coming out and throwing a tweet out here every other day about what they're doing. And that's what scares them, because they know he knows. And now you have, You know,
they know him.
Adam Schiff, this guy, he is just dirt. Even the Washington Post gave him 4 Pinocchios this past week, which, you know, is their worst rating for a public official for whatever he or she said.
I see that. Well, listen, big thank you here. I love having Colonel Warshak on to be able to bounce this around. You learn a few things here, people. You miss a minute, you miss a lot. So pay attention here as to what's going on here. Next up here, we've got here a really interesting segment coming up. I want you to hear. When the silent civil war goes hot. Couple of very interesting gentlemen coming on here to have that conversation here. More Viewpoint in just a moment.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
I'm going to ask you to go to thewoundedblue.org. That's www.thewoundedblue.org. That is the website for the organization that is the National Association for Injured and Disabled Police Officers. It is a support organization for these men and women who have given so much in the line of duty. We desperately need your help to raise money to get this movement going. And if you are a GoFundMe-er, go to GoFundMe, look up The Wounded Blue, and you can give there as well. But check it out, please, and also check out our film, The Wounded Blue, on Amazon.com.
Well, I was telling you earlier, when the silent civil war goes hot, you know, we've been talking about that for a while on the platform here. As some of you may think maybe it's funny talk or something, but as you hear this explosive program today we've been having with you people on, you know, on Viewpoint here, it's a serious talk. These are serious times, and you must be prepared. And that's what we're going to talk to you about in this next segment here. I'd like you to welcome on here George McClellan is here. George is a historian, a political analyst, and his professional career spans 43 years in law enforcement and the U.S. Naval Investigative Service. We'll tell you a little bit more. He has a very storied background in law enforcement. We'll touch on that a bit. And another great law enforcement guy here is Dan Jackson. He's a retired detective, Detective Dan Jackson. So if that sounds familiar to you, that's because he is the brother of Chief Tom Jackson on The Uncomfortable Truth from the Heartland. You're hearing at 7 p.m. on America Out Loud Talk Radio, dynamic show here. And so Dan, again, retired detective, St. Louis County Police, expert firearms examiner, former chief of police for Cottleville, Missouri as well. It's good to have you both here. George, you have a really very thought-provoking article up at the top of AmericaOutloud.com. People, I implore you to go read it and think a little bit when you read it, When the Silent Civil War Goes Hot. All right, so a lot of people were dumbfounded because, again, this officer, for doing his job, was suspended. I mean, and the ramifications of that, we're seeing more and more of this out there, for turning an illegal alien over who had a record to ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement. What's going on with this, George? What happened?
Well, basically, he was reinstated the next day when the police unions flooded that chief's emails with complaints. I mean, so he's back on the job, but he's not in good straits because we got a 14th Amendment here, states' rights thing going. The states are going by the Constitution, but they're doing things that are otherwise illegal, like letting in illegal immigrants to flood our borders, these invaders, and protecting them. And so we have a conflict of interest right there as far as the laws are concerned, I'm pretty certain. They will have to end up in the Supreme Court one day, as it surely will. But we see this manifest in the sanctuary cities that are springing up
a lot more and more and more, which is your point in the article. But George, Police Chief Edwin Russler Jr. here, he comes out and listen to this, Dan. He says, and this is his quote. Now, these are not my words. He says, this is an unfortunate issue where the officer was confused. The officer was confused. He said, we have trained a lot on this issue. This is the first time we've had a lapse in judgment, and the officer is being punished. Dan, those are his words.
Yeah, I think the lapse in judgment is the chief's lapse in judgment, where he thinks that that it's okay to allow people to run around who have violated United States law. Their policy, apparently since 2007, their policy has been that they don't ask immigration status and they don't enforce any immigration hold orders or administrative orders by ICE. And that's unlawful because what you're doing is you're telling your police officers to refuse to obey federal law. And this officer didn't slap the guy into handcuffs. He didn't take him to jail. He was investigating an auto accident. One of the drivers didn't have a license on him, so he ran the driver to make sure that he was licensed, and the driver came back with an administrative hold order on him because he failed to appear for a deportation hearing. So he called the ICE officer that was on the hold order, and the ICE officer said, "Yeah, I'll come get him." And he waited with the guy until the ICE agent got there and took custody. And for that, the police officer was suspended.
Dan, any other American who had charges against them accordingly and was pulled over would be charged accordingly. Why should an illegal alien get special privileges?
Well, as my brother said, we talked about this very issue in an upcoming show. As my brother said, he's faux enlightened, the police chief. He's towing the liberal line It's not even liberal. He's towing the leftist socialist line where we don't enforce federal orders. We allow illegal aliens to run around free. We stomp all over the Constitution. And we punish our officers for doing what they are sworn to do.
Yeah. And we're seeing more and more and more of this, as George points out, because, George, as you say in the article, the sanctuary cities. Now, here's the thing that should not be lost on anybody. We knew this was going to happen. This day was going to come. And this ain't going to be the last time we see this, because here's what's happened. In a lot of these outrageous cities with outrageous politicians who are doing outrageous things, what's happened is they put police officers in harm's way themselves, being in a position where they're not supposed to act or follow, again, the law, the Constitution, because of some local nitwit mandate that they put out there, which we're seeing in all of these sanctuary cities. And, George, this is a problem because this is happening all over the country where these nitwits are telling people not to follow the law, and they're telling them not to follow the feds or follow – I mean, you just can't make this stuff up, George.
Well, you can't. Look what the Congress is doing. It's disintegrating in front of our eyes, trying to get rid of the president. But they're taking hold in our cities and counties and our states, California being the prime example, changing the entire law structure of that state against what is constitutional, but what is for illegal immigrants. Of course, they need the voters because they know that they cannot sell their program anymore. This any chief of police, as I said, who is, and that's the appointed ones, not an elected sheriff, that's the difference. Elected sheriff is responsible to the people, not the county commissioner. But any chief of police appointed is to a Democrat mayor or a governor, is in fact a commissar.
That's a great point.
In the old Bolshevik model. And so the chief of police has to do that commissar's bidding. He becomes a political officer instead of a chief of police. And there's no laws yet drawn up that protects him.
Yeah, yeah. George, that's a really big valid point you bring up there, because, Dan, that's the same problem we had in Baltimore, because the whole system becomes corrupt, and then all the people at the head of the police department, they have to play to the far left socialist democratic narrative, and that's why we had all that unrest in a lot of these cities, right?
Well, I think it's not so much that the appointed officials have to obey the politicians,
but they're doing it
as the politicians are appointing people that will obey them. The idea of an appointed police chief, and a prime example is here in St. Louis County. The sheriff's department was so corrupt and so political, and there was so much violence going on that in 1955 they took the police function away from the sheriff and made it an appointed police chief to get the politics out of it. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, like you're talking about Baltimore and elsewhere, when you've got leftists appointing leftist servants, then you've got what George is describing.
No, it's a perfect scenario. If everybody's paying attention, this is why we're going to have a lot more troubles ahead, because the political operatives have hijacked the system, Dan, is what I'm saying, yeah?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is corrupt from start to finish here. I mean, it's BS is what it is. It ought to rip everybody's ass upside down and backwards. I mean, this is nonsense. People, you talk about having unrest and a civil war. You talk about law and order. I mean, you're not going to have any law and order anymore. If this continues down, that's why, you know, new recruits are way off and people are having trouble. Departments are, why do you think people, do the math for heaven's sakes. Why do you think people are ripping pissed and a lot of people are not getting into the profession anymore? Because our politicians have made a nuisance out of the whole thing. It's a joke to them. And it's sad. I mean, the old days of a young kid growing up, Dan, wanting to be a police officer, hell, that ain't going to be the way anymore. I mean,
no, it's not the way. We're already hurting all over the nation. Police recruiting is hurting.
No, I mean, now you see when the camera goes up to the little boy in the future, Dan, they say, what do you want to be when you want to grow up, a little boy? Well, I want to be a pain in the ass thug, or I just want to be somebody. Yeah, I mean, come on. The hell are we raising here? You know, I want to be some snowflake wallflower. You know, what the hell's going on with all this? Anyways, I want to ask you this, Dan, straight up. And then in George's column, he says this. Now listen, this is important. Everyone listen to this here. George puts the question out there, or the thought out there. Will they turn in their badges, the police, he's saying, and walk away, or clad themselves in armor and go rogue? Now, that was a hell of a thought to put out there. And you say here, it's a very serious possibility we could face when the silent civil war now underway and our political system goes hot. And I got to tell you what, Dan Jackson, that stopped me in my tracks when I read that and George put that. And that's a hell of a question to put out there. How would you answer that? What do you see the brothers and sisters in law enforcement actually doing if the you know what hits the fan?
It's scary. And then I think, at least I hope, the majority of police officers who are in it for the right reasons, you take an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution of your state, and the laws. If you're given an unlawful order, like we're talking about, for instance, raiding people's homes without warrant to take their guns or to take them away, to recondition them, re-educate them. If we're talking about the extreme scenario there, if we're talking about unlawful orders, I think that the majority of police officers will not obey them. There will be some that will. There will be some that will just flat out quit. I think the majority are just going to suffer the disciplinary consequences of refusing to act.
Yeah, yeah. George, you agree with that, or you have a different thought process with the question that you ask in that article?
Well, basically, he's right, but we still have the federals to look at. The Bundy Ranch is a prime example of policemen not saying, hey, this is wrong. And that thing extended out to Washington State a year later, which ended up in the murder of a man. You have the Ruby Ridge example. That's before we started getting worried why an ATF sniper would want to shoot a woman in the head holding a baby by two.
Yeah.
The Waco incident is the most glaring example. Mm-hmm. And then snatching that little Cuban boy down in Miami, Florida, Ian Gonzalez, away from his auntie. Do you remember the picture? The armed guy with a rifle sticking in the closet, dragging that little boy out? My goodness. We're facing it. That's why I know it's coming, because it's already been here.
Yeah, see, all of these are examples that George puts out there right now. It's a great point you bring up in your memory of all those cases, George. But that is great evidence of what he's saying, is that this is not going to be, this has the potential to become more common in an occurrence. You're going to see more and more people. And unless you start pushing back, and I got to plead with you all again, be careful, please, who you're electing to these local municipalities, these cities and towns and states. It is critically important. If you continue to put socialist Marxists in these positions, people, you're gonna rot the country out from the inside out. I'm telling you. I'm begging you to be careful and get to your neighbors and the rest of them and tell them to stop it. Because these people, they are definitely a wolf in sheep's clothing, people. Appreciate all of our experts' analysis on this program. You want to get out there, people need to hear this viewpoint. We covered a lot of ground here today, people, a lot of ground here. Make sure this gets circulated out there on all the networks once it gets to podcast Sunday afternoon. Our big show in here is always Sunday morning, 10 a.m. on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Oh, and by the way, there's an encore on the Talk Radio Network later Sunday afternoon at 6 p.m. If you want to hear it there as well, you can get the apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa, as always, friends. Thank you again for being part of this journey here with us here. And friends, your marching orders are this. It's time to get involved and get loud.